Anti-Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
Now we're going to talk about 10 guiding principles to help reduce ADHD behavior. Learning these 10 principles for managing ADHD may help you to maintain a pleasant relationship with your child, and that sounds really nice. So my guest is Dr. Craig Wiener, author of Parenting Your Child with ADHD. Dr. Wiener, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you, in your book, I just want to, at the get-go here, because I want to get into these 10 principles, you say, and this is a quote from your book, these 10 principles can help parents learn to resolve problems related to messiness, inappropriate silliness, intrusiveness, chores and helping family members, coordinating schedules, sneaking and stealing, noise and yelling, and overreacting. But that's a lot of stuff these 10 principles are covering, right?
Yeah. Well, these are kind of things that the kids diagnosed with ADHD are doing, so the problems that they're encountering.
What's principle number one for you?
Well, principle number one is to use coercion as a last resort rather than as a method to that's necessary because the child is seen as defective and needing more stringency and control. That I'm actually going in the opposite direction, which is if you can get the child to see the enjoyment with to cooperate with you and to do the kinds of things that we value and enjoy, that you'll the child will more likely do those behaviors when you're not around. So yes, parents can overpower a child, but what you want to do is find a way to persuade and interact with the child so that the child has a sense of wanting to do what it is that's being talked about. So
that sounds great on paper, but that's a tough one, I'm sure, for parents, because especially when you're out in public, if you have a child that's being impulsive, inattentive, the first thing you want to do is grab their attention, right? And that may not be the best first step for you.
Yeah, well, so the issue is that the problems are occurring frequently, and to get them to change is going to require a lot of patience because Rome wasn't built in a day. And one of the parenting principles is to be patient, because think of all the New Year's resolutions we all have, how long it takes to change our behavior. So it's a lot of it's being proactive to talk about with the child before you go out, like what's going to happen, or help the child design what's going to happen on the shopping trip, or conclude the child in a different way so the child has more options for helping out and deciding what goes on. All of us contribute and cooperate much more if we think other people are recognizing our point of view and give us a voice. So I'm helping parents learn how to get a relationship with their child that's of that type, which is this kind of give and take where the child's learning to manage along with the adult. So it's not the adult always
doing the management. That falls under your be a little bit more patient with them as you're maybe preparing them to maybe go out to the store or whatever that family event might be. So that's use coercion as a last resort. Be more patient with them. What's the third principle?
Well, staying calm, because the ADHD group, some people are saying that they're unable to regulate their emotions. Well, how do you help a child learn to stay calm? Is you have to model that behavior. So if the child's screaming and yelling, you could say something like, gee, we could solve this better if we're calmer, or I could hear you better if we're more relaxed. But it's very, very important for the parent to role model how to stay patient when confronted with frustration or problems, because the child imitates those behaviors very quickly.
They kind of feed off the parent
a little bit there.
So remaining calm would be, I think that's something – I think we all can practice a little bit more in our everyday lives. And as you said, this is not something that happens overnight. This is something that parents basically have to practice, don't they, these principles. So that's staying calm. Give us the fourth principle.
Well, I'm kind of going in what may be order of importance here. One of them has to do with treating your child as competent to succeed. There's a way to – if a parent assumes the child is defective, then the parent ends up doing much more for the child and just directing the child rather than talking with the child about coming up together or helping the child come up with some solutions that the child would find reasonable, and then exploring with the child the complications or obstacles that might come up, or seeing how the child likes the solution or what the problems would be. But you want to train your child to develop their brain, the child's brain, and then these ADHD behaviors That's the way to get rid of the ADHD patterning, is help the child learn to self-manage. And that often can occur if you start to treat the child as competent to learn to self-manage.
And that also develops some confidence in the child too, as well, which will help them feel better when they're out, say, in public, that they can manage their symptoms, they can be a part of what the family is doing, and play a role, I guess, when the family's going out, say, shopping or something. So that's the competency. Let's just keep going. These are really good principles. Let's keep going as they come to you. What's another good principle?
Well, another one would be like establishing a buy-in. Like if you have a little kid, you say something to the child and you wait to see if the child gives you a yes, rather than just maybe grab the child's arm and coerce them, or would you please put that down? That's very fragile, could break. And if you know, you hope the child does it because they're responding to you, or you wait to see how if you're interacting with a spouse or somebody, if you want to find out, does your spouse agree with what you're saying? You want to get the reaction. And the same thing's for kids. If you can get them to buy in, then you stay connected in your relationship. It's not just a question of me forcing something, like, if you don't do this, I'll threaten you, I'll take this away, I'll take that away. That doesn't lead to the kind of relationship and cooperation which I know parents want.
And that buy-in one, I like that concept, because, again, I think it's giving the child a little bit more control, you know, in the situation, allowing them to understand that they can have some control over some of the symptoms and some of the behaviors. And again, it goes back to that first one you mentioned, using coercion as a last resort, not the first resort, because once you do that, there's no buy-in for the child.
Exactly. And,
right?
And it's important. Yeah, exactly. The it's important for parents to know that these management systems where you control, like, the rewards and punishments, that's a form of coercion, and that you're going to find that the child learns all sorts of side effects from that, like sneaking, lying, avoidance. They learn to control you because you're trying to control them. And I try to get parents to see that you can socialize your child without doing these rewards and punishments, because the child can get reinforced by having a relationship with you. They can get reinforced by the grades they get. They don't have to get prizes for it, because what you do is you give a prize, and it's the prize that's important, not the learning. So there's also, I discuss all these problems in a lot of detail in the book. So I show parents a very different way to socialize a child that will hopefully minimize these side effects that occur with these other methods. Now, another important...
Keep going. So this is good. So we got coercion as last resort. Be patient, calm, build competency in the child, have that buy-in, socialization. Give us another one.
Well, another one that's very important is the fostering independence, which is, if you're at a restaurant, why couldn't the child learn to order their own meal, pick out from the menu? There's so many opportunities for a child to just learn to do things and on their own. That'll build their self-confidence. And you can see how all these principles are really developing the child's self-managing skills, because in a way, when they talk about ADHD kids as being unable to self-manage, well, this is a way to help them learn to self-manage.
Now, before we go into, let's say, one or two more of your favorite principles, I'm going to make sure we get this in before time's up here, Dr. Wiener. Where can they purchase your book?
Well, you can purchase the book at all the major book sellers, Amazon.com. Barnes & Noble has been stocking a copy.
And do you have your own website, too?
And I have a website, www.craigwiener.com, and that'll show you some more stuff, what I write about, and some of my other books as well.
So is there any one last thing you want the listeners to know about these principles for reducing ADHD behavior?
Yeah, I think that parents have to know that to be less coercive doesn't mean you're being passive or lenient, because if you notice a problem, then you want to talk with the child about it. You don't want to just sit by and let the child... without solving the problem. So right. It's an assertive.
Dr. Wiener, I want to thank you for coming on. Really great book, great principles. Thank you for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.